This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And once again, America is the leader of the free world. Feels good, right? To be the center of attention, the top dog, the place where everyone is turning as an example of prosperity.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
Yes, we're an example of how democracy and government should be run. Yes, with Donald Trump riding high after Super Tuesday, the rest of the world is looking our way. Here's British Prime Minister David Cameron.
I think his remarks are divisive, stupid, and wrong. And I think if he came to visit our country, I think he'd unite us all against him.
I'm a unifier. I know people are going to find that a little bit hard to believe, but believe me, I am a unifier.
Donald Trump wants to be unifier in chief. Friend of oligarchs, Russian President Vladimir Putin, seems to get Trump.
He is a very flamboyant man, very talented, no doubt about that. He is an absolute leader of the presidential race, as we see it today.
But China thinks Donald Trump is more like an early April Fool's Day joke. Brian Yu is the CEO and founder of Business Connect China.
Most of Chinese think Donald Trump is a joke because he just did something or say something. It's just too much. It's like carried away. We will talk what's going on with the U.S. Democracy.
But Trump may be better than Hillary Clinton from the Chinese perspective.
Her image in China has always been on the tough side. I mean, most of us think Hillary is pretty tough on China. Maybe more confrontational in terms of Sino-US relationship.
Brian Yu is a risk taker and an investor, and he knows how to place a big bet. Yet, even for him, Trump is a big unknown.
But Donald Trump is really a wild card. I mean, nobody knows how he's going to do, right? He's a big name, actually, because of The Apprentice. People know about this. But other than that, I mean, nobody really knows him.
World leaders and international observers who are tuned into the U.S. election say Hillary Clinton is who they are most worried about. Fyodor Lukyanov, who chairs Russia's Council on Foreign and Defense Policy, said in an interview with Fox back in May that Hillary is the worst option of any president. Wael Eskandar is a journalist based in Cairo.
Hillary has been not so good on Egypt, and she's been very disparaging of revolutionaries. She thinks a dictator like Mubarak should have continued and then handed over power peacefully. I mean, she doesn't really understand the situation. You don't get a democracy when a dictator peacefully hands over power to other oppressors. The only candidate that we're excited about here is Bernie Sanders. He gives Americans a fighting chance that special interest groups don't control their lives.
But south of the border, it's the Trump message that's been disturbing, with all the talk of a wall on the Mexican border and accusations that Latin Americans are trying to offload their drug addicts and prostitutes to the north. Writer and historian Enrique Krause, based in Mexico City, signed a letter condemning Trump's language.
If Donald Trump turns out to be the candidate for the Republican Party in the United States, and if he wins, as a Mexican, I can say I'm deeply worried of the possible nightmarish consequences. There would be an increased militarization of the border. There would be much less cooperation between the two governments concerning crime and drugs. Trump has insulted Mexico. Many academics, many scientists, businessmen, artists, writers of Mexican origin live in the United States and give their best for the benefit and the prosperity of that great nation. All those people are not murderers. They are people the same as those 11 million people that go there to find work.
Edward Lucas covers all this. He's senior editor at The Economist and author of The New Cold War, Putin's Russia and the Threat to the West. Edward Lucas, your thoughts?
I think it's too easy to say that Americans are out of their minds. All sorts of countries elect really wacky politicians or have really wacky politicians. We see Marine Le Pen, far-right candidate in France, who may well be the next president there. But for years, we had Silvio Berlusconi, who was a clown of really Trumpian proportions, running Italy and Italians voting for him because he was amusing and made them feel good. So I think it's easier to decry Donald Trump as a person from outside. What we always have to remember is that we really need America. You are our indispensable security partner and our indispensable trading partner. And so this really matters to us. It's just we don't vote.
Is Trump significantly worse than an extremely unpopular figure like George W. Bush?
I think George Bush got a very unfair treatment from the Europeans because his perceived inarticulacy really let him down in European eyes. People thought he was sort of the kind of hick who must be stupid because he spoke in this rather, with this rather fractured grammar and syntax. And I thought that was kind of snooty and unfair, really. But he was very unpopular in Europe, particularly as the Iraq war disaster unfolded. But I think looking back, we really need American presidents who are deeply engaged in European security. So Reagan really cared about toppling communism. Clinton, who was very popular, believed in expanding NATO. George Bush also expanded NATO and paid a lot of attention to the security problems of the European continent. And Barack Obama has also done quite a lot. And I think what really worries me about Trump is not his off-the-wall comments and his rudeness and vulgarity and so on. It's the isolationism. It's the idea that he just isn't really interested in shouldering burdens with other countries. And we here in Europe really need America as our partner in all sorts of ways. And both Trump's isolationism and actually some of the other Republican candidates and Bernie Sanders, that all worries me.
There's often been a distinction between the way the American government speaks to the world and the American people. And of course, there's the caricature of the ugly American tourist around the world. What do you think the Trump success says about the American people and particularly the American electorate?
I have to say, I've never believed in this stereotype of the ugly American tourist. And when I see the way British tourists behave abroad, I think that there's plenty of targets for criticism there too. I think that what Trump does do is feed a bit of a caricature of the kind of braggart, know-nothing, self-obsessed tycoon. He's like the kind of villain you might see in a Hollywood movie about a kind of bad capitalist who's going to meet his downfall. And of course, that's a stereotype that Americans would find amusing and unpleasant, just as Europeans would. So I think he does play to a certain strand of anti-Americanism in Europe, which will find him particularly horrific. As I say, the thing that really worries me is not the things that he does, but the things he says he won't do, like, for example, being engaged in the rest of the world's security.
And do you think that, you know, what is said in the campaign comes to pass in the course of an administration? Often promises made are never delivered upon, and ambitions that are very much feared in the campaign are just impossible to get through Congress?
I think that what you see, first of all, in the primary campaign doesn't bear much relationship to the presidential campaign, and what you see in the presidential campaign doesn't bear much relation to what happens in the White House. And that's pretty much true of democratic politics everywhere. People make promises and then either won't or can't keep them. But I think the primary contest particularly brings out the necessity to appeal to the base in the party, which tends particularly, I think, at the moment in the Republican Party to want a kind of rather extreme rhetoric. And from the outside, it's very easy to caricature that. But, you know, we've seen, I've been watching American politics since the early 1970s, and we've seen some pretty loopy candidates along the way and some very good ones. And on the whole, life goes on afterwards, and whatever people may have said on the campaign trail, either they don't get elected, or if they do get elected, they tend to govern in a more sensible way than the impression they gave at the time.
In the case of Donald Trump, and talking about the base of the Republican Party, there's an argument to be made that Trump, in fact, doesn't represent necessarily the base, but has hijacked the party by attracting a group of people who aren't necessarily a part of the traditional Republican base, and that the party itself is falling apart. Is there precedent for that in Europe? Has that ever happened in your experience, even in Britain?
Well, first of all, I think your analysis is absolutely correct, and that Trump is not really a recognizable Republican. And I think you're also correct that political parties tend to be coalitions, and often quite contradictory coalitions. So our Conservative Party here in Britain is a mixture of people who are keen on business and capitalism and probably count themselves as economic liberals. It's got social conservatives, it's got Eurosceptics, it's got people who are very keen, Europhiles. And if the leadership of the party is doing a good job, it manages to keep those divisions under control and harness everybody's energies behind winning the election, which is what's really important. And I think what's happened in the Republican Party is that there's been a failure of that leadership. People whipped up the Tea Party and the other kind of very critical anti-establishment voices to the point that it opened the door for someone like Trump to come in. And yes, I think that could happen in European political parties, and to some extent it has in our own Labour Party, which used to be the party of government and unassailably in power, run by Tony Blair, and has now been hijacked by a bunch of left-wingers who would think that Bernie Sanders was unbearably conservative.
Edward Lucas is senior editor at The Economist and author of The New Cold War, Putin's Russia and the Threat to the West. Great to talk to you, Edward. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.